WBZ News Radio 1030.
Well, good evening and happy Monday, everyone. It is a Monday, October the 6th, if I'm not mistaken. Where has the month gone? My name is Dan Ray, and this is Nightside, and this is WBZ News Radio 1030. Welcome, everyone, to another week of Nightside. We have a great hour to start off this week of programming. We're going to talk with the two, well, I think the two major participants in this controversy over question one. Question one on the ballot, for those of you out of state here in Massachusetts, proposes the elimination of the state income tax. And in studio, we have with us this hour Carla Howes. Carla has been here before. She is the chair of the Committee for Small Government, which would like to see the income tax eliminated here in Massachusetts, and also Peter Mead. Peter Mead, who several years ago actually sat in this chair as a talk show host. It wasn't called Nightside back then. It was just simply good old WBZ Radio. And Peter is the chairman of the No on Question 1. And now my pleasure to bring back to the WBZ microphones Carla Howell and Peter Mead. Both of you, welcome.
Good evening.
Thanks very much, Tim.
Well, delighted that you're here, Peter. You were here, you told me, I think, was it 11 years?
9 years.
9 years.
Yeah.
9 years. Well, I've only been here a year, but I know what the feeling is.
You're on the other side of the building a long time.
Well, that was true. 31 years over there. Anyway, this is a very interesting question. This is a question, Carlo, since you're the proponent, tell us what question one, a yes vote on question one, would do.
Ending the income tax, a yes vote on one, will give back an average of $3,700 each to 3,400,000 workers and taxpayers across Massachusetts.
Okay, let me just again, what you're going to do is you're going to eliminate the income tax.
That's right.
Which is, again, just trying to set this up for folks out of state, too, who might not be aware of it. We have an income tax, which right now is state income tax, which is 5.3%.
Right. It cuts it in half this January 1st. If we vote yes, if a simple majority wins, it's a binding referendum, it will cut the income tax by 50% this January 1st and eliminate the income tax completely 1 year later.
Okay. Now, my understanding, and again, just so we can have fun with this tonight, but also be accurate, we have a state budget of about $28 billion.
And my $47.3 billion. That's just not true. That's only part of the total spending. It's $47.3 billion.
Again, I don't want to get tangential, but the state budget.
Where do you get that?
Go to our website. There's a link at our website, which is smallgovernmentact.org, and we've put it right front and center on the website. You can go to the comptroller's document, an audited government report that shows 40s. It actually is the most recent year they report there is 2007. So, and it has a 10-year schedule. Last 10 years, every year it goes up about $1.3 billion, and it was $46 billion in 2007. It's now up to about $47.3 billion, maybe $1 or $2 billion more than that.
Okay, since that's been thrown out here, I got to get Peter Mead. I must be honest with you, Carla. I have never heard the state budget described at that magnitude. Peter, the number that I consistently have heard is about $28 billion.
That's what I've heard. Are you including the lottery numbers in here?
We're including everything that's listed on page 312 of the comptroller's document, which you can see the link at our website at smallgovernmentact.org. It shows the revenues broken down. It shows the expenditures broken down. There's the $28 billion only counts one of the four Massachusetts budgets, which is called the statutory or sometimes referred to as operating budget. The other budgets are non-budgeted spending, expendable trust spending, and capital outlays budget.
Okay, Peter.
Three other budgets they don't include.
You've included the lottery in here.
Mm-hmm. That's one of them.
Most of that money goes to pay out the winners. Do you want to have a lottery where you don't pay the winners?
No, we do want to. What we want to do is articulate every single bit of that $47 billion, every department in the government, including the lottery, including the tolls, has expenditures, revenues and expenditures, and net proceeds from them. The tolls, for instance, they don't count the fact that, you know, they'll report total spending, total revenue from the tolls, but they don't include the expenses from it. When they report the lottery, they only include the net proceeds, but it's...
But the state, I mean, I
well,
hate to
so,
start
so
$47 billion.
If I go to a lottery, let's assume that I go to a lottery outlet,
yeah,
and I spend, just for the fun of it, let's say $10 a week. And let's say that I spend $520 over the course of a week, over the course of a year, 52 weeks.
Right.
A certain portion of that money comes back, if not to me, to someone else, about 80%. Some people come out ahead, some people come out behind. So you're including that entire number within the state budget?
If you go to a casino, they'll only take about one half of a percent to 1% of that. The state government takes more like 70% of it. I mean, 30% of it. So you get much better payout if you go to a casino in Las Vegas than you do buying tickets from the state lottery.
That's three and a half billion out of
$47 billion in spending.
Let's do this, Carla. Let's try to stay on topic here. If we can, simply because we're not here to talk about casinos, okay?
That's right.
And we're not here to compare.
We're here to talk about the whole budget, which includes 500-some government agencies and entities and thousands of government subcontractors.
Let's do this. You want to talk about a budget that is theoretically $47 billion?
It's not theoretically. It is what is published by the state government.
Okay, well, again, that's the number that you're going to bring to the table.
The media has commonly used. That's the number that I use, and that's a problem. The media has been repeating this number from politicians for years, and it's not the right number. I mean, even they're admitting $30 billion. Even they're admitting right off the bat it's off a couple of billion. It's actually $47.3 billion. That's the total government spending and revenues.
Okay, you know what? During a break, we'll go to that website and we can see what it is. But I don't want to get sidetracked here, Peter. I know the figure that you probably want to use is $28 billion.
Yes. Okay. If Carla, we can round it off to 30 if Carla wants for discussion. I think it is enormously deceptive to talk about $47 billion and include the lottery in that when 80% of that money goes right back to
which
prizes.
Which is $4.5 billion, $3.5 billion.
But it's out of
$47 billion. Okay.
Let's talk about the rest of the forty-four billion.
Let's give him a chance to do that. Carla, let's give him a chance to make his point.
Why don't we go back to Carla? You were going to explain what happens if this passes. Why don't we go to that?
Well, as I said, $3,700 on average back to 3 million. 400,000 taxpayers and
$12 billion.
$12.6 billion out of the hands of the politicians on Beacon Hill and back into the hands of the men and women who earned it, who need that money to pay their bills, to pay their utilities.
So we can agree on the figure of $12 billion
and pay off their debts. I mean, there's people, all kinds of people who are facing, and it's going to get much worse from the news we're hearing, real rough financial times, and they've been hearing about government waste, government boondoggles over and over again. They're wasting our money. They're blowing our money. And the people who earn that money desperately need it. They desperately need it to pay off college loans, credit cards,
avoid home foreclosure. I have to tell callers that we like to make it a conversation. And I don't want speeches. I really want a conversation, okay? It's as simple as that. Because he could make a speech for 5 minutes. You can make a speech for 5 minutes. And then it could be over, okay? So we're trying to have a conversation here. It's as simple as that. Peter, the $12 billion, whether it's taken out of a $47 billion budget, which you and I don't accept, or the $28 or $30 billion, what's the problem with that? What's the downside of that?
Well, what I would like to hear from the proponents of this is a plan. What's going to be, you know, pick an agency, state police, for example. How many state troopers are you going to cut?
It's interesting. You immediately talk about the troopers rather than the Quinn bill or police detail. Just two examples of waste within that particular department that we know about.
Carla, again, cutting waste. You know, if you're going to make a speech,
I'm not making him a speech. I'm responding specifically to what he said.
Well, that's wonderful. Then how many troopers will be cut?
Like I said, you immediately go to the baby rather than the bathwater. Within police departments, we have the Quinn bill. Do you support the Quinn bill?
Listen, I think you should answer the question I asked.
I am answering the question.
No, you're not. But let the BC audience make a decision on that. I asked how many troopers would be cut. We don't necessarily have to cut any.
I don't know. But what I know is there's a Quinn bill we can cut first. What I know is there's the police detail we can cut first. Why aren't you talking about that?
Because I was talking about, I get to pick my questions. You can obviously pick yours. And I was asking, and I think this is a perfect example of the problem here. The proponents of this are coming up with this idea that you can get all of this money. In point of fact, given what our tax structure is like, if you make over $100,000, you'll do real well with Carla's plan. So if you think that people who are rich and doing well don't have enough money, you might want to vote for this. If you think you don't pay enough in real estate tax, you might want to vote for this. But if I think the most incredible thing is, to talk about taking what will be 40% of the revenue. And the reason Carla comes in with this unbelievable, literally unbelievable, $47 billion is she doesn't want to deal with the fact that what they will be doing is taking 40% of the state's revenue, 20% 8 weeks after the election, and 10%, half of that would be right after the election.
Okay, you've had much more airtime than Peter has at this point. Okay, let's be fair. Okay?
All right, well, we're gonna
gonna work at it. Go ahead, Peter.
So what they are going to do is they're going to cut 40% of the revenue. Half of it, 20% of the state's revenue will be cut 8 weeks after the election. 52 weeks later, they will cut the other half. So it'll be 40% will be gone. Think about this. If in 8 weeks you had to cut 20% of the revenue in your household budget, what would you do? If you were running a business and you were going to take 40% of the revenue out, how many businesses could survive that? There are many of us who don't like either size of, we think the government ought to be smaller or larger, it ought to do more, it ought to do less, who have joined this coalition. And if you look at the coalition, I think you get some sense. Let me just finish by saying the Boston Globe and Boston Herald have both editorialized against this. It's rare that you get them in the same place editorially. There are people from business and labor and social agencies, private nonprofits, all of whom have said, please vote no on question one.
Again, I want to make this more conversational. Carl, let me just follow up. We're coming up in a break, but let me just, if I can, follow up with you on one question that he asked. And if you have some specific questions that you want to...
Well, may I respond to what he said? I mean, he said a lot.
He did say a lot, and we have an hour. You have a chance to respond to it, I promise, but we do have to take some commercial breaks here. Let me just follow up, if I could, so I understand what you're saying. I took from your answer that you feel that it's possible to pass question one and eliminate $12 billion from whatever size budget. Again, you say 47, Peter says 28, whatever. Yeah. And without laying off one state police officer. I just want
that to make, is certainly an option.
No, I'm just saying
that
that's
is certainly
what,
an option.
No,
the state police as well as the local police account for a very tiny percentage of total spending.
Right. So just I'm clear, okay? And if there's state police troopers out there, if there's state police family members out there, your position is you can cut, again, whatever percentage would be. Obviously, you're working on a $47 billion figure. Peter's working on a $28 billion figure. So we'll just say you can cut $12 billion, and you're saying it's possible to do that without eliminating a state police officer in the Commonwealth.
Yeah,
Fair enough. It is.
Now, let me address his first specific question.
We can address some of his questions. We've got to take a quick break, okay? And we're going to have an hour here. We'll have plenty of opportunity. My goal is to try to keep it even, okay? That's what I'm trying to do. 617-254-1030 is the phone number. My name is Dan Ray. This is Nightside, WVZ News Radio 1030. In studio, two passionate people. Peter Mead, who is the chairman of the No on Question One campaign, and Carla Howell, who is the chairperson, or the chair, I should say, of the Committee for Small Government. We're talking about the potential elimination of the Massachusetts state income tax, which is about 5.3% for those of you out of state. We'll be back with your call, 617-254-1030, right after this.
Nightside with Dan Ray. Be informed. Be entertained. Be heard. Call 617-254-1030.
It is 8:25 here in Boston, Massachusetts. This is Dan Ray on Nightside, and we have Carla Howell and Peter Mead in studio talking about question one here in Massachusetts, which would roll back, which would eliminate, excuse me, the state budget. And I'm trying to do...
No, eliminate the income tax.
Income tax, excuse me. We're trying to keep it as fair as we possibly can. What I'm going to try to do again, Carl and Peter, is try to make it more conversational and less speeches. Did you have a point or two, Carla, that you wanted to make on what Peter just said before we went to break?
With regard to cutting spending, where are we going to cut?
Yes. Well, whatever point you want to make, I don't want to tell you what to make.
Yes.
You seemed to, before we went to the break.
Yes, thank you. Cutting. What we need to do is what we've asked the legislature to do repeatedly is post the state government budget, not just what you're seeing now, and you're seeing that it's about $45 billion in 2007.
No, I'm seeing a page which, again, I don't want to characterize. I'm seeing a page which I think includes lottery receipts. I think it includes a lot
that's of federal, part of the budget.
Federal reimbursements.
That's part of the budget. That's part of their spending and their revenues. Okay. It shows spending and revenues, and it's $45 billion. Now, why wouldn't they report that? Whatever it is, why wouldn't they report it? And why wouldn't someone in the major media like yourself know that number? Yeah. It's misreported repeatedly.
Well, because...
And that's wrong.
Well, okay. it. You know we can,
if you
we can
do that with your business, if you say, oh, I got it from somewhere else, therefore it didn't count, the IRS will throw you in jail for that kind of reporting.
I don't know anyone else who is using the figure $47 million,
that's the
and
problem.
I don't want to belabor the point.
In the alternative media, people are using it. In the major media, there's still, occasionally the Globe does report the real number, but they haven't done it in a while. I've seen these numbers reported in the Globe. And in addition to this $47 billion, you've got another $22 billion in local spending on top of the $5 billion that they get out of that $47 billion in state aid.
Which has nothing to do.
But it has a lot to do with, because our opponents are constantly talking about cutting local government spending items. They pretend like it's part of the state budget. But there's another $22 billion on top of the $5 billion they get in state subsidies that isn't directly affected by
it.
They could choose to cut those things.
To keep it simple, the property taxes that I paid in my town is not part of the state budget.
That's right.
I understand that. That's a real simple characterization.
Right.
And if I feel I'm overwhelmed by my property taxes in the town in which I live, I can
vote against an override.
I can vote against an override. I can elect a new different mayor. I can elect different selectmen. I can do all sorts of things. So, again, you're going to use the figure $47 billion. I can't prevent you from doing that. Peter's using the figure of $28 billion.
And you can't prevent him from doing that either.
I can't prevent him from doing that either. Either way, can we at least agree that the elimination of the state income tax would cut $12 billion?
Okay. And that's correct.
And so whether it's 12 of 28 or 12 of 47, it is a significant number. If it's 12 of 28, it is, if I'm not mistaken, it would be about 40%. If it's and I'm pretty good on that type of math, about 40%. If it's 12 of 47, it would be about 25%.
Yeah, 27% of total spending and 18% of total state and government and local spending combined.
Just trying to keep it simple. That's all, Carla. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, before we go to the phones here, you have made your argument, and I want to get reaction from people. Is there anything you want to add?
Yes. Thank you, Dan. I don't know anybody who uses the $47 billion, and I think it's terribly misleading. Carla mentioned just a moment ago during the commercial break, included in that is Medicaid money that we get from the federal government. The money we spend on Medicaid, 50 cents is state money, 50 is federal money. And including that and saying that that's the state budget, including the lottery figures, I think it just creates a lot of blue smoke. I think what's happened, I'm not even sure if folks understood what they were proposing, and I think they were afraid to face up to the fact that this would cut 40% of the state budget. That's what it would cut. If I could just finish.
Yeah.
40% of the state budget. And one of the largest parts of the state budget is local aid, the money that goes to cities and towns.
$5 billion out of $47 billion. That's not very big.
It's $5 billion
not at all the largest
part. $28 billion, folks.
Well, so 28 is a statutory budget, and there's three other budgets.
Folks,
local cities and towns would have to make up, irrespective of what budget you're talking about, local cities and towns would have to make up $5 billion
of
revenue.
No, because they don't have to cut. They could. That's one option, but they don't have to cut $5 billion out of the $47 billion. They can cut it. They got another $37-$35 billion to choose from.
How would you run a community if all of a sudden
I'm sorry, I misspoke. After we end the income tax, we'll still have $35 billion. $5 billion of that could be local aid. They can choose to cut that or not. They may decide there's waste in local governments, which there is, and cut some of that, or they may not cut any of it. That is a choice. That is absolutely a choice. What we need to do is start looking at the waste, not keep putting the baby on the table and ignoring the bathwater. They're ignoring the 500 state government agencies most people have never even heard of that are completely unaccountable to taxpayers.
Let me just say this. There's no doubt that there's waste in the state budget, okay? I don't think even Peter would argue against that there is waste in any municipal, state, federal budget. We could go through it and find waste, I would assume.
I would assume in most budgets you could.
Probably
whether
even
it's here at WBZ
Radio.
Probably fine. You know.
Fair enough. But the question that I think you're concerned about is the magnitude of this cut.
And, Carla, the Medicaid money that you're saying is in the budget, how much of that could be used for libraries or schools or for local police?
I don't know. What's your point?
The point is none of it could be used for local police. None of it could be used
if
for local
police. If the legislature wanted to give it to them, they could.
No, they couldn't because that money comes from the federal government.
Oh, you're talking about the federal subsidies. Some of it comes from the federal government.
Half of it comes from the federal government.
That's right.
So you're making it seem like that there's this money that could somehow be used. You said, well, they could use it for other things. They couldn't use it. The money they have to work with, and it's interesting, the Mass Taxpayers Foundation today issued a report. I think the most respected tax watchers in this state. And they were saying that, and this is a business-sponsored group, they were saying that what you would have to cut out of many government programs is up to 70% of the money, not just 40%, because there are some things we have to pay. We have bonded indebtedness. You have to pay that. So it's not as if people are sitting around there, even with the $28 billion. And I frankly think, Carla, it is grossly deceptive to sit here and try to tell the WBZ audience that the folks at the state have a $47 billion budget, when in truth, they don't.
That's exactly what they have, and that's what their government report that you're looking at right now says. The Massachusetts so-called Taxpayers Foundation is funded by large financial corporations and other businesses that profit from high government spending. The everyday small businessman wants this tax cut. The everyday worker and taxpayer wants this tax cut. The so-called Taxpayers Foundation has opposed the tax rollback in 2000, the tax rollback in 1990. They are against broad-based tax cuts for the everyday worker and for protection
to this.
Well, your other taxes are going up all the time.
No. Can you assure me that by voting yes on this, my other the other streams of revenue coming out of my pocket, whether they're property taxes or whatever, say sales tax or whatever, will not go up?
This,
is this revenue neutral?
Oh, it's not revenue neutral for the state budget at all. It cuts it by $12 billion.
What about for me?
What we're going to do when we end the income tax is look at lowering property taxes. They can be cut probably in half, in addition to ending the income tax, in addition to removing a whole bunch of professional fees, recreational fees, all kinds of things people get whacked with the state government and local government taxes.
So, like,
spending.
When I want to go to, municipal golf course, let's say I want to go to Ponca Park, George Wright Golf Course in Hyde Park, and I want to play a round of golf, I shouldn't have to pay a fee for that?
You do pay a fee, and now there's a perfect example of something they don't talk about cutting. They talk about teachers before they talk about golf.
But you were talking about
that could be,
cutting fees. So should I should be able probably to go play under your world.
I'm talking about people. That may be one of the few real, genuine user fees in government. I'm talking about the things they pretend to call user fees and things they don't even pretend to call user fees.
Give me an example.
Where they charge building permits, mortgages, ferry rides, gun licenses, fishing fees.
So gun licenses or fishing fees?
Court fees, filing fees. You know, you put a Title V certificate, you hand it to your local municipality, they charge you $50 to put it in a file drawer. I mean, there's hundreds of fees you get charged for.
So there should be no cost associated with that.
Where there really is a legitimate cost, I don't have a problem with it. But the majority of those fees, the majority of the revenue from those fees don't even come close to the tiny fraction that is spent on actual cost.
Okay, take a quick break. Come back. We're going to go to phone call, 617-254-1030. My guest in studio, Peter Mead, Carla Howell. Clearly, there's not much common ground between both of them, but you have listened to what they've said, and we would like to hear from you. What I'm going to ask the callers to do is try to phrase a question. Again, not make a speech. Try to phrase a question, either a complimentary question or a challenging question, but phrase it as concisely as you can. We're going to go right to the phones. This is Dan Ray Nightside. We are joined in studio tonight by Carla Howell and Peter Mead. Carla is the chair of the Committee for Small Government, which favors the elimination of the state income tax here in Massachusetts. This was on the ballot, by the way, just from a historical point of view. Was it in the year 2000?
2002.
And the vote at that point, if I'm not mistaken, was 55-45, roughly?
Right. We got 45% of the vote and didn't quite win. We were about 8 to 20 points ahead of the polls, which shocked everyone, but not quite enough to pass.
All right. And then Peter Mead, who was with Vote No on question one. And we're going to, again, ask, we're going to implore the callers to be as concise and direct as you can. Laura in Arlington. Laura, you're first tonight on Nightside. How are you tonight?
Fine, thanks.
Can you ask a question, make a comment real quick?
Yeah, I'll make it real quick. I just want to cut to the heart of the matter. I live in a really nice town of Arlington, and I'm very active in local politics, and I, you know, can look at the budget and see that they really squeeze a buck here. I mean, it's not got a lot of fat in this budget. And I use a lot of the public services here. My kid goes to public schools. I'm a big reader. I use the libraries. You know, my husband had some chest pains a couple years back, and the fire department arrived in a couple minutes. Thank God it didn't turn out to be serious, but I was glad they were here. So the way I see it is, if this thing goes through, I may get $3,000 tax break, but I guess my question for Peter, is there any way I could replace all those kind of services if they went down the tubes because of massive budget cuts, which is what I think would happen? I don't care what Carl Howe says, $12 billion is
Laura,
a lot of money.
Laura, that's a good question.
Yeah, could I replace them with $3,000?
Well, let me try to get a quick response for you both from Peter and from Carla.
I think the honest answer is there's no way you're going to replace all of them. And because local aid is such a big part of the state budget, it's interesting that Carla said not only can we cut 40% of the state budget, we ought to cut, we should be able to cut half of the real estate tax. I think, Carla, what you're saying is we really shouldn't have government at all.
No, I'm saying we should have small government, dramatically smaller. Even if we cut both of those and the income tax, cut the property tax in half, we're still talking... we're left with two-thirds or more of the total government spending now today. That's still big government.
Dan Ray asked us if we'd come back some night. Why don't you come back some night, and then the three of us will discuss this, and show what the budget would be for your town if it lost all of its state aid and it cut its real estate in half. What would the budget be like? How many police officers would there be in your town?
That's a interesting proposal. Maybe we can do that. But what I'd really like to do is have the teachers union rather than you, because the people who are not coming to the plate here to debate this are the people, the major funders of this, which is the teachers union. They fund 83% of the opposition to question one, and other government employee unions. We have called on Ann Wass, president of the Massachusetts Teachers Association, to debate this repeatedly, and she's refused.
A little tangentially. Do you want to comment on the...
If I could comment on that, thanks for bringing it up. Our website is Vote No on Question 1, and it's a 1, not the O-N-E. And you can go to the website, and people are doing that and contributing money to the Vote No campaign. That would be wonderful if you could do that.
And they need it, because the only money they've gotten is from these large government union institutions. They had one donor as of their 60-day report. We had all individual donors.
That's not true, Carla. That's not
true.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. There were three. There were three out of the 1.2 million that was donated as of the 60-day report. That's what it said.
Okay,
then you misreported it. Then you didn't tell the truth in the report.
You didn't say the date of the report. You said
they only had... I said 60-day report, which was the first report, which covered most of this year. 1.5 million donated.
That's not what you said at first. You're backsliding this. I donated. My wife donated. We're not part of...
Well, I'm glad somebody's finally ponying up from an...
But we'd like... So it's vote no on question one if you'd like to donate to the campaign.
Okay, Carla, real quickly, where's your money coming from?
Individual donors. Small individual donors.
And what have you raised?
$300,000 or $400,000, something like that.
What percentage goes from Massachusetts?
I don't know offhand, but all statewide campaigns get out-of-state donations, and we get less proportionally than our opposition does. They've gotten more of their money from out-of-state.
Okay, Laura, thank you for the question. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good night. Let's go to Mark in Brighton. Mark, welcome. You're next on Nightside with Dan Ray.
Hi, everybody.
Carla Howell and Peter Mead.
Hi. I must respectfully but strongly disagree with Carla Howell about the Quinn bill. I think it's quite important that we have police who are well-educated in things like civil rights law and criminal psychology. And I don't have a problem with my tax money going to at least partially fund that. I do agree that, I guess my question to both Carla and Peter is, can't any problems that there are with the Quinn bill be fixed by demanding a greater accountability in terms of the police actually showing up for class and maintaining good grades? I don't see I guess my attitude about the Quinn bill is mend it, don't end it.
Well, first of all, even the Boston Globe opposes the Quinn bill, but it's a tiny portion of the whole budget. There's $12 billion in waste that we can eliminate by ending the income tax. There's probably $10 billion more, $20 billion, who knows, lots more waste we can eliminate after we end the income tax. Quinn bill has been widely criticized by many people who even oppose this measure. So I don't think you're going to get a lot of supporters on that.
Peter, what do you think about the Quinn bill?
I truly don't know enough about it.
Well, the Quinn bill, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, is a piece of legislation which provides educational opportunities for police officers, which, as Mark, the caller from Brighton, suggests, really does give officers an opportunity to improve their educational background. And there is certainly a taxpayer, a portion of it, a contribution to it, which I, as a taxpayer, feel is a legitimate use of my tax money, and I think I would agree with Mark on that.
Mm-hmm.
Carla just said there that there's $12 billion in waste. Can you show us where the $12 billion in waste is?
What we need to do...
Mark, thank you for the call. We're going to...
Okay.
The conversation. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mark.
We need the legislature to show us the tax money. Put up a website with an easily readable, easily searchable articulation, detailing of every single check written by the state government, who it's to and what it's for, just like the IRS makes you do when you're being audited, just like businesses have to do, report to the government, just like campaigns have to report. You as a taxpayer are not being, the government is not holding itself to the same standard that it's demanding that you be held to. Now, when you put this up at a website.
Yes, can I take from that answer, and again, I'm concerned about time here. Can I take from that answer that you're not able at this point? He asked for where the $12 billion of waste is. You're saying that as the budget is currently constructed, as it's currently laid out, you don't know where the waste is.
It's marbled throughout. Probably every government agency.
But there's none
and
specifically.
But how do you know that there's 12 billion?
Here's an example, if I can finish. This is a very important point. No, you put up on a website where 3 million taxpayers can become the watchdogs for the state government. Every time we get a little peek at it, because most of it's closed and you can't see it, and when we get a peek at it, we see enormous waste every time. You put it up there so 3 million taxpayers can be looking at every part of the budget where they have particular knowledge or expertise. For example, you just bought a set of tires for $400. You go on the website, you search on tires, and you see they just bought that exact same set of tires for $800. You've just found $400 in waste. That's one example.
Is that this a theoretical example or an actual example?
That's a theoretical one. Here's an actual one. When I was at Newton Park and some guys in a truck came along, if you're going to talk about local government waste for a moment here, even though that's a little tangential, guys come in a truck. They spent about $100 driving there to go and look at the one-inch wide hole that was in this large tube, you know, the kids scoot through. And
a slide.
Yeah, slide. And he was saying to me, this is going to cost $400 to fix. Well, he probably spent $100 just driving there to look at a one-inch hole, and then they're going to come back and spend $400 plus send these guys. And, you know, they might spend the better part of $1,000 to fix a little one-inch
hole. Sure enough. Okay, is that
okay,
the
that's
best
an example,
example. But is that the best example you can cite for us?
There's thousands, tens of thousands of examples. The Big Dig, double-dipping pensions, the Quinn bill, police detail, bodybuilders on disability pay. Oh, which turns out there's a whole bunch of bodybuilders on disability pay. Government employees who steal, $100,000 sign hangers, $70,000 a year toll takers. The list goes on and on.
I would agree with you, by the way, in the toll takers. But that's the Mass Turnpike Authority, which I don't think is part of the state budget.
It's not part of the state budget. But, Carla, you claim that there's $12 billion in waste in the state budget. And the example you gave, you couldn't cite anything, but you said they probably spent
$100. I just cited about 10 things.
No, if I might finish here. You said that they probably spent $100 getting there to the playground. That was a local budget, not a state mm-hmm. budget. So you're here asking people to take this radical proposal that no state government has ever done something like this, wiped out 40% of the revenue in the state like that. And when asked, you're saying, well, there's waste. There's $12 billion in waste. And I asked you where it is. And instead of citing it, here it is in the budget, this is waste, this is
you
waste, this is
waste. You want state government waste example?
Well, that's
is that what you want? Would you like one?
What I'd like is the $12 billion.
The Big Dig.
Is that in the budget?
$22 billion for the Big Dig. It was promised for $2.3 billion, and it ballooned to 10 times that amount.
Okay, great.
And they lie about it all the time, about what the real funding is.
What percentage of that is in the budget we're talking about that would be impacted by cutting this?
That's a good question. I spent a long time trying to find out that answer, and I went to a board member of the Massachusetts Turnpike Authority, and he couldn't tell me the answer. I asked him to send me the information. He promised he would.
So you're
called him three times, and he wouldn't respond to my call. Now, the burden is on the government when they will not disclose. You make a concerted effort. There's people who've been working for years to understand this budget,
and they can't get the money.
We
cite something here.
I have cited.
You cited a hole in a slide in Newton. which might have cost $1,000 based upon your calculations to fix. You cite the Big Dig, which is 95% federal monies. And clearly,
No. It's much less than 90%. It's more like about a third of the total spending will be federal when it's done.
Oh.
Unless it goes up again. And it keeps going up every few years.
It's federal monies that's involved.
They only put in about $8 billion. We're footing the bill for the remaining $14
billion. Just to say to folks, what Carla is trying to get you to do is to vote against your best interest. A no vote is in the best interest of people in Massachusetts. She can't tell you, or she won't tell you, what will be cut. This is a serious matter. It becomes law January 1st next year if you vote her way yes on this. And she can't tell you what's going to be cut, where it's going to be cut.
They won't show you the tax money. They won't show you all these employees that are off playing golf, stealing money, that are making $70,000 for making change, to cite some examples
with that conundrum, let us pause. We have to take a commercial break. We do have to make some money. 617-254-1030. Back with some more calls. A concluding segment with Carla Howell and Peter Mead right after this.
Nightside.
Yes, Mike, welcome. You're next on Nightside. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much. I just want to say I'm really concerned about this proposal, particularly around the funding for public education. As a teacher, schools are strapped as it is. We're struggling just to maintain current services year to year and seeing budgets that are just completely cut year to year for education. If this passes, what are we looking at in terms of impact on public education?
Okay, good question, Mike. I'm going to direct that to Carla. We'll let Peter comment on it as well, but a good question. Carla?
Well, we need to, first of all, show us the tax money. Put all of 500 government agencies on the line, every single one of them. Look at where the waste is. Determine whether they're doing more good than harm or more harm than good. If they're doing some good, find the waste in them. And even if they are doing good, and after you've cleaned out the waste, you still need to ask the question, is this better done in the private sector than the government sector? All three of those questions you need to ask of each of 500 government agencies. Only $10 billion out of $70 billion is schools. There's probably waste in the schools. Teachers tell me all the time there's waste in schools. There's administrators making tons of money that are overstaffed. Every single one of these things needs to be looked at.
You indicated to me earlier that you felt that this tax elimination could occur without the loss of a single state police officer.
Absolutely.
Can you also provide a guarantee that this would also occur without the loss of a single teacher?
I can't guarantee the behavior of another person any more than I can guarantee what words are going to come out of Peter Mead's mouth, but I can certainly tell you that it is not necessary to cut a single wanted or needed essential government service at either the state or the local level. In fact, we can cut much more than ending the income tax and have a better government, a lean, mean government that does exactly what people want, is accountable to the taxpayer rather than the special interests and the unions.
Phrase. Let me get Peter's response here. Peter?
This is utter nonsense. Carla Howell is asking you to vote yes against your best interests next November. It's question one. I'm urging you to vote no. When we talked about the Mass Taxpayers Foundation just a little while ago, a highly regarded business organization, Carla took a shot at them. The Associated Industries of Massachusetts is largely small businesses. They're in opposition to this. The Mass Business Roundtable, in opposition to this. The Chambers of Commerce all across the state are. And it's all of these people are critical of government. Carla's been asked tonight, can you tell us what you would cut? She's saying, look, don't worry about this. There's not going to be a problem.
Oh, you should worry about it. You should demand that they show us the tax money and cut it out.
I bet if we run the tape, you've had several more minutes than me. And now that we come down to the end, I'd like to have just a little time. What Carla is proposing is to take 40% of the state budget away. And she's saying there's $12 billion in waste. But she can't tell you where it is. She won't tell you what part of the budget she wants to take it. She won't tell you what's going to happen in your town. She won't tell you how few teachers you're going to have, how few firefighters, or how few police officers you're going to have in your town. What's going to happen when you call for an ambulance? She won't tell you that. Stand up for your own proposal, Carla. Tell us what it is. Tell us where you're going to cut.
This is what the opponents of tax cuts do every time. They talk about the services people want. They don't talk about the 80-90% of the budget that you've never even heard of. Open the blue pages of your phone book and look at how many agencies you've ever even heard of. These are the ones that are not being even looked at or discussed.
Then tell us which ones you'll cut. Take the pages out and go through it.
I'm saying cut the way I already explained that. Some of them should be cut entirely if they're doing more harm than good. We should certainly determine which ones
are they?
We need each of those department heads to show us what they're doing.
But
how
you're
much
the
are you spending? What results are you producing? How can you know whether to cut something when you haven't even heard of the organization, much less as the
then
department
how can you
head?
Propose this reckless
It's reckless to be spending money without coming to the table and proving that you're doing more good than harm rather than more harm than good, which they refuse to even talk about. You're not even talking about the bathwater. You're only talking about what is popular.
And Carla won't tell you what will be cut. She's urging you to vote yes. Big mistake. A broad cross-section of people from church organizations to business organizations, social service agencies, unions are all saying this is a reckless proposal that will hurt Massachusetts and hurt our economy.
Let me do this. We are fast running out of time. Folks who are on the phone, stay there. We're going to talk about this in the next hour. I promise everybody will get on the radio to make you comment and give you even more time. I'm going to try to wrap this up again. I wish we had 4 hours. And I would like to invite both of you back if we can find a mutual time and do this again. Carla, again, you're the proponent here. Can you give it to us in about 40 seconds? I'll give each 40 seconds to wrap up why question one should pass, why the state income tax should be eliminated in Massachusetts.
The question is, what's best for the 3,400,000 workers and taxpayers of Massachusetts? Get back an average of $3,700 every year, create new jobs, and cut the state budget from $47 billion to $35 billion every year, or vote no, keep it at $47 billion, and deprive these 3,400,000 workers and taxpayers of an average of $3,700 in their pockets. This whole conversation coming from the opposition is about what's good for government. We need to talk about what's good for the workers and taxpayers of Massachusetts who need that money.
Okay, Peter, give you about 40 seconds.
I'm talking about the people in Massachusetts. I'm talking about a woman I talked to yesterday who is retired. Her husband's dead. She's worried about what will happen if this reckless proposal passes because she's worried about paying her real estate tax. She knows, she's smart enough to know that you can't do this. Carla Howell is asking you to do something that's never been done any place else before, to take 40% of the state revenue in 60 weeks. And she's telling you we can still manage to do this. It can't be done. Do you know the old expression? When it sounds too good to be true. This is too good to be true. It is not what will happen. We will be hurt if we vote this way.
I want to thank you both for coming in. We will try to arrange another time, maybe even a little bit more time, because there's so much to discuss here. I thank you both for coming in, and I try to keep it as fair as we could. I didn't have a stopwatch on you. Those listeners, I want to thank both you, Carla and Peter. Those who are on the phone, online, stay there. We'll talk about this right after Kim Tunnicliffe and the 9 o'clock news. Dan Ray and Nightside. Thanks again.
WBZ.